Now, it's my hope today that we will all leave here after this sermon fully appreciating what was achieved on the cross over 2,000 years ago. It's also my hope that we will walk out of here today fully understanding the significance of that act. Now, today I'm going to be preaching the good news, the gospel. Now, I'm not planning to make this sermon really long, so that might be some good news to more of you. I plan to make it factual, to the point, but also memorable, and like I always try and do, is bring in a bit of fun as well. Now, you're probably thinking, as Dave said, what's those ladders doing out over there? Why was someone out yesterday and didn't bother to put them back? And, you know, why is there a cross here with shopping bags next to it? Well, all of that will become clear later. Well, I hope it does anyway. So the first thing is, I want to do a little icebreaker. Now, someone said to me, don't worry about if you make mistakes, because some people are asleep anyway. So I'm saying, actually, I don't want them to be asleep, so I'm actually going to do an icebreaker. And in a moment, what's going to happen is I'm going to show you a slide. Did any of you used to see the Krypton Factor? They used to put stuff... Yeah, great. I'm not that old then. Okay, so yeah, they used to put up something, you used to look at the slide, and then they'd ask you some questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a slide. And on that slide, it has four people. Now, there'll be a timer, 30 seconds, and once that timer runs out, I'm going to ask you all to stand up and turn around and face the other way, because I'm going to ask you some questions about that slide. Now, as I do with all my preaches, if you get them right, I will give you some prizes. But there are only prizes for the hard ones, because some are easy, okay? So you all ready? Slide's coming up. The moment I press this, the countdown starts, and I can't do anything about it, okay? So here we go. Okay, so I need you all to stand up now. And I don't want any cheating at all, because I'm looking if you do cheat. I'm absolutely looking if you do cheat. Okay. So, the first question I'm going to ask you is this. What physical attributes did all four of these people have in common? Now, I'll give you the one to start off with. They were all very good looking. Okay. So, the next one. Can someone shout out to me what they all have in common? Sorry. Someone said glasses. No, that's not right. Sorry, they're all men. That's a good one, yes. Sorry, very thin on top. I think you'll find that some of us are and some of us aren't. Okay, carry on. Clean shaven. Well, again, some of us are, some of us weren't. No, not all bald heads. Cool, you lot are rubbish at looking at stuff. Sorry? Noses, yes, they all have noses. Now we're getting in the right section. Stop cheating, Clara. Bushy eyebrows? Well, I hope not. I have mine shaved. Okay, next one. All Christians, that's a good one. That's not a physical attribute, but I like the way you're thinking. They've all got eyes, yes. Okay, we're getting the point, so you can all turn around now. Okay. I was actually quite astonished, actually, how much you didn't get. Right, so let's sit down. Now, this one, you can look at the screen. And this is the question that I have here. Now, I'm looking for two specific things that all four of these people are affected by. Now, you can't see them, but they are definitely there. Gravity. Now, gravity is one of them. Go and give that man some sweets. Put your hand up. He's got a prize for that one. Gravity. Wives, yes, but that's not what I'm looking for. Mind you, that might come under the next... No, let's not go there. Okay, so we got gravity. I'm looking for one more thing that they are affected by, all four of these people.
Time.
Time, yes, but it's not what I'm looking for. God, yes, but it's not what I'm looking for. Sin, who said sin? James Barr, give him some presents there. Exactly, there. Gravity and sin. Yes, they're both affected by, all four of them are affected by that. Now today, I've called my sermon, The Gravity of Sin. And shortly, we're going to be looking at a scripture in the Bible from Ezekiel. But before I do that, I've got one more illustration. So who's got £5 or £10 that they can borrow, lend me? Let's go and get them one off the sweets, because if it doesn't work, I'm keeping his money. Okay. Look at that, he's got money ready there. Excellent. Okay, thank you, Shelby. So what I've heard of in the past here is if you fold a £5 note in a certain way, if you fold a £5 note in a certain way, that apparently it can float in midair. Now this is what I've heard. Let's have a look. Well, apparently it is working. Now you're probably thinking this hand up here is holding it, so I'll just take it away. And actually, let's see if it goes down now. And let's see if it can come back up again. Okay, let's get it back down. Give the man his money back. Okay. Well, there's no mystery to that, let me tell you. Okay. So, let me explain this to you very quickly, what I've got here, so you can see it. You see that? It was in my mouth as well. Now, what was the point of that illustration? I mean, that's freaky, that is, isn't it? So what was the point of that illustration? Well, let me explain it to you. I wanted to give you all an illustration of to demonstrate both gravity and sin. For example, just because you couldn't see the thread, it didn't mean it wasn't there. The thread illustrates the force of gravity. Now, you were all expecting, the moment I took my hand away, that it would fall to the floor. That didn't happen. Now, to demonstrate the sin, how many of you noticed what I did earlier? Anyone? Good. Because what I did earlier was I deceived a lot of you. I asked you all to stand up and turn around. And as you did so, you thought it was to do with the whole thing of the observation. But in actual fact, it had nothing to do with that at all. What it had to do with me was buying some time so I could set that up. So it was total deception. So gravity and sin are around us all of the time. Sometimes we can see their impact on us and others we can't. But a serious point here. Sometimes sin, we can recognise it right at the start. Sometimes we recognise it just after the event. And sometimes we don't even recognise it until someone sits us down and explains it to us. So today we're going to be looking at both of these things. We're going to be looking at the impact of gravity and sin, what they have on us. And we're going to be looking at the parallels that can be drawn between the both of them. But before I do that, I'm going to go to our scripture from which I've drawn today's sermon from. Now, if you go to your church Bibles, I'll give you a chance. It's page 864. So let me give you a moment just to get there. Let us know. Is everyone there? It is up on the screen if you do want to follow, but some people do like to have the Bible in their hands. So, Son of Man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offences and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Now, there are a couple of points in this scripture that I'm going to be looking at in more depth. You're probably going to guess them, but if you haven't, we're going to be looking specifically at how our sin weighs us down. For the purposes of illustration, I'm going to be comparing gravity and sin and demonstrate how they both weigh us down. We'll also be looking at how we are wasting away because of our sin. So I'll be comparing the long-term effects that gravity and sin have on us. And then finally, I'm going to attempt, God willing, to answer the question on how we may live. So we've got lots to cover today, but I think it's good to give you some background to the writer of our scripture. Now, there is a present for this one. Does anyone know what Ezekiel means? No? Well, at the very least, you're going to learn this today. Ezekiel means God strengthens or strengthened by God. Now, this scripture was written around 565 BC, so just under 600 years before Jesus came. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet during the 70-year captivity of the Israel nation in Babylon. Now, Ezekiel uses four techniques when he writes to dramatise his message. He uses prophecies, he uses signs, parables, and symbols. Now, in our scripture, as you can see, he uses weight to illustrate sin and the effects of sin, and I'm going to be continuing on that vein later on. Now, part of Ezekiel's work was to tell the generation that were born during captivity these three main points. So the cause of Judah's current destruction, so why they were there, and it was to do with their disobedience and sin, of God's coming judgment on the Gentile nation, what happens with sin, there's a price of sin, and then also the people being restored back to Jerusalem, hope. And I'm going to be covering these same three points. So let's start with gravity and sin. So what is gravity? Can anyone describe to me what gravity is?
Neutral attraction.
I like that. You've been looking at my preach, haven't you? Okay. I think he should get some sweets. Give him some sweets there. Okay. Well, one dictionary version that I have is gravity is a force pulling together all matter, which is anything you can physically touch. The more matter, the more gravity. In short, gravity pulls us down. Now, what physical effects does gravity have on the human body? And I'm going to be going through that in a moment. But here's one I want to share with you. Now, who of you has the same problem as me? That about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, suddenly, just around this part of your body, your clothes seem to really get tight. Almost like they know it's bedtime and they're hugging you goodnight. And to the point that you can't breathe. But here's the funny thing. The next morning, when you put those same clothes back on, they fit. In fact, there's even room. Does anyone know why that is? Sorry? Food? No, it's not food. Ah, someone said it. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. Well, the reason for this is, I'll get the reason now in my head. I've just lost my train of thought there. Well, the reason for this is because even as we speak, we are shrinking. Every morning when you wake up, you are actually taller than how you're going to finish the day. In fact, and I did all the research on this one, you can be up to half an inch shorter by the end of the day. Now, this isn't because some of you are heavier than others. It doesn't mean that you've been carrying weights around all day long. It simply is the effects that gravity has had on your spine throughout the day. And it's only when you lie down at night to go to sleep that your spine has a chance to stretch back to its original position. So yes, I can now explain love handles. And it's not my fault. It's actually gravity's. So just as gravity affects the length of my spine over the day by making me shorter, it actually impacts other parts of my body too. It sort of has a domino effect. The loss of height means my organs compress and my waist measurement increases. But here's the key thing. I don't actually weigh any heavier. Just my waistline gets longer or wider. And that's how love handles appear. So I've answered one enigma for you today on love handles. So, did you know that gravity also affects our organs too? Gravity plays havoc on the insides of our body as well. Over time, organs prolapse, and that means they fall from their rightful place in our bodies. Organ function becomes less efficient, and it's not uncommon for people to experience bladder, kidney, and problems, and digestive problems, all due to prolapsed organs. Now, as you get older, you will notice parts of your body falling from their rightful place. For men, this is a fact, for men, our ears get longer and our noses get longer as well. And I'm not even going to touch on what it does for ladies. But you all know. Okay, do you also know that gravity affects our circulation system? Now, gravity can prevent water from going uphill, and it actually can affect our blood from flowing freely in our body upwards. Now, as a child, I don't know if any of you have done this, but have any of you ever held your hand up as an experiment, and you keep it up there for a certain period of time, and then you pull it down and you compare your hands, and one hand is a different colour from others. So in just a very short time, you can see that gravity is having an effect on your circulation system. But over a much longer time, it actually can cause things like varicose veins or decreased scalp circulation. Poor circulation is one reason why most of our valuable organs could deteriorate over time. Now, we may call these problems the unavoidable effects of aging, but the truth is they are a result of the constant force that gravity has had on our bodies. Now, I know this is all doom and gloom. I'm only telling you this because these are the facts, and this is how gravity affects us, which ultimately can lead to our course of death. That is, of course, if accidents and illness don't get us first. Now, next we're going to be looking at sin and the effects that sin has. And I'm afraid there isn't much good news there either. But take heart. After I've done that, I'll be delivering you the good news on how we can live despite the forces of gravity and sin working against us constantly. So what is sin? Can anyone describe to me what sin is? No? Yes, Shirley Chu gets some sweets for that. Okay, for such a small word, sin, there's a lot packed into it. Now, I've got some descriptions here. It says the Bible describes sin as breaking or transgression of God's law. It also defined as disobedience or rebellion against God, as well as independence from God. The original translation means to miss the mark of God's holy standard of righteousness. Do we know what that is? What is God's standard for righteousness? Jesus, yes, absolutely. But what does sin do? According to Ezekiel and our scripture today, our sins, our offences weigh us down just like gravity does. But actually, sin does much more than just weigh us down. It affects us physically and spiritually. Sin separates us from God. It creates a barrier between us and Him, which ultimately, if it's not dealt with, will lead to death and eternal separation from Him. In Romans, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I will be looking at that in a moment. But first, I want to look at the physical effects that sin has on the human body. Now, there are many sins that we can commit, too many to list, too many to go through. So I'm just going to look at one, that being unforgiveness or bitterness, because unforgiveness is a sin. So how does unforgiveness affect our health? Here's one. Unforgiveness is a poison to our body. Resentment, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness could cause ulcers, high blood pressure, and dozens of other diseases. Now, it's been estimated by some doctors that as much as 90% of our illnesses could be caused by anger, fear, resentment, and bitterness. Hatred makes you a slave to the person that you hate. Holding unforgiveness in your heart could cause you to lose sleep, take away your enjoyment, rob you of your happiness. And over time, the strain will eventually show in your face and also in your body. Someone who I once think was a doctor said this about unforgiveness, and I'll read it out in case you can't see it on the screen. The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I find that I can't enjoy my work anymore because he controls my thoughts. My resentments produce too many stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued after only a few hours of work. The work I formerly enjoyed is now drudgery. Even holidays cease to give me pleasure. I can't escape his tyrannical grasp on my mind. Unforgiveness affects our mind. Now, I know from personal experience that unforgiveness can and does bring on depression. I read somewhere that people who have a tendency to be depressed much of the time are people who hold resentment against a loved one or a relative who injured them earlier in life. Now, if you are one of these people, then you will never know lasting victory over depression until you get rid of that unforgiveness. I know this to be true only too well, because I have seen the personal effects of this in my own family. I've seen it totally and utterly destroy relationships. So we need to forgive. We need to let it go. We need to not allow unforgiveness or sin to weigh us down. Now, I have taken just one sin, and there's too many, as I said, to choose from. But ultimately, sin must be dealt with. It doesn't just affect our body, it affects our soul. And sin has a price that must be paid. But the real question is this, or the real questions are this. Who will pay the price for your sin? Will you pay the price for your sin? Or will you allow Jesus to pay the price for your sin? Now, I've got a few more things to go through, but I'm going to be explaining how your sin can be dealt with once and for all, and explain how you can have eternal life. And I'm going to demonstrate that to you with a few examples. Let's go over here. This should be fun. So the egg and the melon. Here we go. I'm going up here now. I didn't realise you had bald patches, some of you. Okay, this is a bit higher than I thought, actually. So it's starting to race a little bit here now. Now, you guys might want to go back a row or two because I'm going to be dropping something in a moment. I'll give you a bit of time to do that. So I have an egg and a melon. Now, I'm going to drop these at the same time. I really hope I get that in there because I'm sure Vic won't like me if I mess up here on the carpet. But I'm going to drop these at the same time. But let's have a show of hands. Who thinks which one's going to hit the floor first? Go on, Rachel, which one?
The egg.
The egg. I like the way you're thinking. Steve? Sorry? The melon. Anyone else? Let's have a show of hands. Who thinks the melon?
Both at the same time.
Okay, both at the same time. Egg and melon. Right, okay. So let's go for it. Ooh. What happened there, guys? Does anyone know? No. They both hit at the same time. Now, I'll pick that up in a minute, don't worry. I will tidy that up. Okay. Now, that was an experiment conducted in 1590 by a guy called Galileo Galilei. And according to this experiment, he apparently climbed the Leaning Tower of Pisa, got two balls of Pisa. I've been on a diet. I'm not thinking about food all the time. Okay. Apparently, he climbed the Leaning Tower of Pisa and dropped two balls off the sides in different sizes, and they both hit the floor at the same time. As some as you thought, and the same as I did, you might have thought the melon would hit the floor first because it's bigger and it's larger. That's what I thought until I did my research. But actually, they hit at the same time. And the reason for that is size doesn't matter. Gravity has the same amount of pull on both objects. It's pulling them straight towards the centre of the Earth. That's pretty much what's happening. Now, some people... let me put it differently. So both the matter of size will hit the same force. So some people think the melon, because it's bigger. And it's the same with sin. Some people think that one sin is bigger than another, or one sin is worse than another. But actually, that's not the case. That's wrong thinking. Sin is still sin. Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's a big one or a large one, yeah, it's still a sin. And they both end up exactly the same way if they're undealt with. Pretty messy, yeah? That's what happens with undealt sin. It ends messy. So, let me have a go. It says here, I said earlier that the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So, two questions. How do we escape our fate? How can we have life? Well, I'm going to show you in a moment. So, I need to know if there's any strong guys in the audience. Now, I've already asked two people to help me out on this. And they're from my RCL group. So, James Barr and Jason Canham, if you can come up for me. Yay. Actually, that's fine. If you can take up space there, you two, so the guys can see. And you would have been on the good-looking chaps earlier if I'd got your photos as well. So, have any of you guys seen... They only know that they volunteered to help me. They don't actually know what it is that they volunteered to do, so I've got to explain it to them as well. So, did you see... did you guys ever see World's Strongest Man when you was growing up?
Yep.
Okay, yep. Well, you're going to get a chance to do one of those events today. In fact, you're going to get to do the crucifix. The good news is, I'm not going to be nailing you to a cross or anything like that, so you're okay there. But I'm going to get you to hold some bags shopping bags like that. And we're going to see which one of them drops their hands first. So no pressure, okay? Okay, so let's keep them down to your side because we want you doing it at the same time. Do you want to spread out a little bit there? So who thinks James is going to win?
Thanks.
Well, the rest of that. There you go. Keep them down by your sides because you're taking the weight now, guys, yeah? Okay. He's puffing. He's going like that already. He's getting psyched up for this. Okay, when I say yes, I want you to get and you've got to hold them out like that, yeah? For as long as you can. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. Anyone that drops their arms, no pressure here, yeah?
It's going to be a long sermon.
I'm running ahead of schedule, so you got plenty of time, so we're doing all right. And there's no chickening out or anything like that. There's no shame in that. But I should tell you, Jason, your arms are shaking. You are now feeling heavier. Yay! James Reed! Right. Cheers, mate. Cheers. Come over here. Right. Thanks, guys, for doing that. Thank you, James. Well, I think James won. So give him some sweets. He's already had some, so give him some more, Shelby. Well done, Jason. Thank you for that, guys. Okay. So what was the point of that illustration? Actually, Jason was carrying a little bit more than James. But let's see what Jason was carrying, shall we? What did Jason have in these things that weighed him down? Got a can of general sin here. Can of naughty thoughts. Can of gossip. Listen, all of you have had it, I've heard you. Including me as well. And a small can of anger. Oh, dear. Listen, you know, we've all got stuff. So what was the point of that? Those bags illustrate our shopping bags of sin. And the point I want to stress here is, no matter how strong either Jason or James think they are, eventually that weight that they were carrying out there would have given in at some point. They wouldn't have been able to carry on keeping their arms out like that, carrying that weight forever. Something would have to give. And it's the same for us and our sin. Eventually, our sin will weigh us down, eventually. So how do we escape our fate? How do we prevent the inevitable outcome of our offences and our sin? Well, I'll tell you. Now, I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. Sin, no matter the size, has a price which must be paid. Now, you can even choose to pay that price yourself, which the Bible said is death, an eternal separation from God. Where you can accept what Jesus did on the cross and accept that he paid the price for your sin and that he died for you. The price for sin was death, and Jesus died on the cross for our sin, not his. He was without sin. Now, if you choose Jesus, then you are choosing life. And that answers the question on how you may live. And have life, and life to the full, because sin's debt was paid in full by Christ on the cross. Now, if you look at the cross there, I hung my bags of sin on it a moment ago. Since hanging my bags of sin there, I've been able to freely walk around. I haven't carried the weight or burden of that sin. I've been able to carry on. But if you look at the cross, it's not struggling to carry that weight. And the point that I want to really drill home is, no matter how strong you think you are, the cross is stronger. This is my final slide. So finally, to break free of the force of gravity and fly to the heavens, we need a force that's greater than gravity, and a rocket achieves that for us. To break free of the pull of sin, we need a force that's greater than sin. And for this, we have our very own rocket. We have Jesus Christ. We have our Rock Eternal. Like the rocket? Rock Eternal? Rock Eternal, yeah. Okay, so now seriously, these are the questions that I want you to think about. And as you think about the sin there, hanging on the cross, and it's not struggling to carry the weight, it's not shaking, it's there, it's sturdy, is this. Will you give your sins to Jesus? So you can be free to walk around and not carry the burden of the weight of that sin? Will you let your offences weigh you down? Because ultimately, if you don't give your sin to Jesus and hang it on the cross, you're going to carry the weight of that sin. And then finally, do you want to be free of the weight of your sin? Because the good news is you can. You can give your sins to Jesus. You can hang your sins on the cross, just as I did. He is strong enough to take them. The Bible says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Bible says that he came to set the captives free. Do you want to be free? If you do, then all you need to do is accept that you are a sinner. Accept that Christ died on the cross for your sins. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent. And ask him to come in your life. The Bible says this: anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So will you call on him? Now, if you haven't done so already, but you would like the opportunity to, or if you are that person that Vic was referring to earlier, that you've done something this week that's just unthinkable, and you need to lift your head again, well, you can. Because all you need to do is take it to Jesus. So if we could just have a moment, all of us close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you have sin that you want to give to Jesus to be free of the weight, then in your own head, say the words and relate it to that thing that's bothering you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and you would like him to, again, say the words in your head and follow it. So, dear Lord Jesus, I accept that I am a sinner. I am sorry for the things that I have done to offend you. I repent of those sins. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life and to take the weight and burden of my sin from me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. In your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask this. Amen.